Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Mike Costantino and I are here today, and we're going to talk again about the debt ceiling. But first, I'm going to try to, in the first half of the show, talk a little bit about the background of the debt ceiling, and then we'll talk about what happened. Right, Mike?
Yeah. I was listening to the duo this morning, and they were worried about introducing themselves twice. But this is Mike Costantino, And we're going to kind of break it up into two parts. We're going to talk about where does the debt come from, Steve? Yeah.
How was the debt accumulated? When was it accumulated? The answer to that is complicated, but also not so complicated.
It's
$6.1 trillion of the debt was incurred under George Bush. Tax cuts, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, the economic downturn in 2001. $6.1 trillion of the $14 trillion occurred when George Bush was president. $1.4 when Bill Clinton was president. He did balance the budget the last 2 years, but he left the government was still $1.4 trillion in debt, even when he had two balanced years. George Bush the first, $1.5 trillion, Ronald Reagan 1.9.
And old Reagan, he doubled the deficit.
That's
he
right.
When he came in, it was 1 trillion. When he left, it was 1.9 trillion.
That's right. So the talk about the stimulus and so forth and so on, Boehner's talk about this huge spending just didn't happen. The health care has not really kicked in yet. And besides, if you believe the Congressional Budget Office, which sometimes says one thing and sometimes says something that Democrats like and sometimes not, it's going to save money in the long run. To give you an idea of what Obama spent the money on, he spent $800 billion on the Recovery Act. That was the stimulus.
His meager $1.4 trillion part of the deficit.
Yeah.
Okay, just throw that
I mean,
in there.
Many of us thought that the stimulus was not strong enough to lift the economy out of its doldrums.
Right.
We thought it would help, but we didn't think it was strong enough to do it. And, in fact, many of the economists, their figures showed that you'd had to spend a lot more money. What President Obama said was this was the best deal he could get. And that might be true, but it wasn't enough to lift us out. This recession is much worse and of a different kind than a recession that anybody can remember.
But it did keep thousands of teachers of working, thousands of firemen, policemen, all of which now whose jobs are in jeopardy.
The other thing that you'll hear is about the Chinese. Owing the Chinese a whole bunch of money. When you have a trade deficit with another country, another country builds up bills, treasury bills that
it holds. Who do we owe this money to, Steve? Tell us who we owe this money.
Well, for example, we owe China a great big $1.2 trillion. But we owe the Social Security Trust $2.7 trillion. We own American individuals $3.6 trillion.
So most of the debt is owed to the Americans.
Almost
we owe all to ourselves.
The debt. Almost all the debt, Mike, is actually owed to ourselves. So when you hear this rhetoric of indebting future generations, it's one part of the American public owing the other part of the American public. It's not like the money is just disappearing. That's kind of a false picture of what's happening.
I do want you to get to where the debt comes from, but that's a good segue into misleading. And that's my issue this morning is the Republican Republican success at misleading when Boehner stood before the American people and said Obama wanted a blank check. It was as some economists have finally called it. I'm really happy to see the gloves coming off. It was a lie.
I've got a quote for you.
Well, I'd love to hear.
Adam Server, he said, the sad truth is that the president wanted a blank check 6 months ago. This is Boehner. And he wants a blank check today. That's not going to happen. That's Boehner's speech. And Server said, well, that's a straight up lie. It's not everyday casual fudging that politicians do, but it's a straight up lie.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing, and we come to accept, and as we should accept, one side looks at things differently than the other side. That's okay. That's American politics. But it's another thing, and even obfuscation, you know, even in, maybe intentionally not, you know, spinning something, that's also American politics. But I think lying is new. Intentional misleading is new, and the intent was to mislead on what the debt represented, and it makes it really hard to understand. And there was a misleading with the item you were talking about earlier.
Yeah. I mean, the situation has been bad for a long time, folks. If you're feeling poor, if you're feeling like you're not made more money, the reason is that the labor market has been in trouble for a long time. Between 2000 and 2007, we only created half as many jobs as we did in previous generations. Understand that 125,000 people enter the workforce, younger people, enter the workforce each month. You have to have economic growth that will absorb that working population, or they just end up being unemployed.
Yeah, you need 300,000 or 400,000 jobs created a month to have growth.
So what happened during the 2000 to 2007 is that productivity went up 11%, right? Normally when productivity goes up, wages go up, right? It follows. Being more productive, you can pay somebody more money to do something.
Right.
But what happened in 2001, 2002, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, productivity went up. The compensation, the median compensation of a high school graduate and college graduate went down.
Right.
The center part of the American economy, the middle class, is collapsing into two parts. The very, very wealthy who control the economy and people working in service industries or hospitals or helping professions and stuff. So the before the recession happened, there were already problems. What I think is going to happen with this is it's going to make things worse.
Corporations are doing well. Small business, it's a whole other story. You know, everything from radio stations to motels have all kinds of reforms that would help them. But corporations, not so much.
Corporations are holding trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in cash.
The
reason they're holding the cash is there's not enough demand. So if you make a widget that goes into a refrigerator, if nobody has any money to buy new refrigerators, there's no use you adding to your workforce, creating jobs. There's no use you investing in new equipment, which reverberates down the economy and brings more and more people employed. You sit on your money.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing I heard is they're holding the money because they're afraid they won't be able to borrow. The downturn scared them.
And, I think that's true.
And so so they're still uncertain. So they're holding huge cash reserves because they're afraid the credit's going to dry up again, and therefore limit their ability to do business. The other thing I wanted to mention, and we talked about this earlier, was that debt. You know, here you start, when we were coming in this morning, you talked about such a wealthy country. How did we get in this? Well, it's because we're a wealthy country that we can borrow. It's just like the guy that owns, you know, half a block in uptown Sedona can borrow all the money he wants, but somebody working in a restaurant can't borrow money. It's because we're wealthy, we can borrow, and the whole world is just perfectly willing to give us as much money as we want because we're a wealthy country that pays its bills. So debt is good in this case. It's just because it stimulates everything. Everything gets stimulated when people got money to spend, whether it's, you know, out of their savings
account. Would you folks like to go back to paying for everything beforehand, save all the money for that refrigerator and then buy? It makes sense to borrow the money to buy the car. and then pay it off. If you've got enough money to pay it off, there is not any problem with having debt. But let's talk now, Mike, about what happened recently. We have one fellow I thought was really interesting who compared what happened to a scene from The Godfather. He's quoting the book, not the movie, folks. And it says, despite all his wealth, he's talking about the producer who wouldn't give Johnny Fontaine a job
in Vegas.
He said, despite all his wealth, despite all his contacts with the president of the United States, despite all his claims of friendship with the director of the FBI, an obscure importer of Italian olive oil would have him killed, would have him actually killed because he wouldn't give Johnny Fontaine a movie part he wanted.
And so the Republicans and the Tea Party are willing to bring down the economy.
What happened, folks, is that instead of being gamemanship, at some point Democrats decided that the Tea Party members of Congress, and they had this incredible leverage, which they hadn't really earned electorally, with this leverage that they would actually bring the economy down. Some of them believe that nothing would happen. Other believe that the chaos of bringing down the economy would benefit them politically and put the country on the right path.
Well, yeah, and that's the other point is I've heard other people make arguments. Well, you know, they didn't understand the economy, and
that's probably true too.
I disagree. I think they knew nothing is more important than defeating Obama. Nothing, and they've said that publicly, and they've said it privately. Nothing is more important than defeating Obama, and that's sad, and it's unpatriotic in the extreme. Karl Rove would not have hesitated to call this what it is.
Right. We have another quote from Jared Bernstein. If too many Americans don't believe or understand what government does to help them, to offset recessions, to protect their security and retirement, and in hard times to maintain infrastructure, provide educational opportunities and decent health care, to offset the advantage of some people gaining so much wealth and others not. If these functions are unknown and underfunded, or poorly carried out, why should they care about how much this deal damages the economy or the next one?
Exactly.
It's a wash to a lot of people. They don't understand what's been lost.
The government hating is once again self-destructive. I like this one here from this huge bond investment firm CEO. Unemployment, as a result of what has happened over the weekend, unemployment will be higher than it would have otherwise been, said the chief executive of the investment firm PIMCO on Sunday, ABC. Growth will be lower than it otherwise would have been, and inequality will be worse than it would be otherwise. He added, we have a very weak economy, so withdrawing more spending at this stage makes it even weaker.
Right, folks, and the best way out of the recession is to grow the economy. Basically, a growing economy would solve all these issues. So that's what the original stimulus was aimed at doing. Let's talk about
cutting Social Security real quick. Social Security, Steve,
go ahead,
as you know, what has its own revenue stream. So, I mean, we pay Social Security taxes. It has its own revenue stream. All the other things that may happen, borrowing from Social Security is another point. But that's so cutting Social Security does not help anything.
Right. That's true, Mike. And Medicare is so valuable to people. We don't need that cut. What's going to happen next week? Well, we're going to move away from talking about the debt ceiling. We're going to have Andre Cherney, who's the chairman of the Arizona Democratic Party, and we're going to be having every weeks, we'll have an update on what's happening in Arizona politics from Andre's point of view. He's down in Phoenix. We'll have him here next week. Should be an interesting interview. The week after, we have Avi Chomsky, and she's going to talk about immigration.
So we've got immigration and state stuff coming up. Attorney's an interesting guy. I think you'll like him.
He's a brilliant guy. What else? Well, remember, we're on the web.
That's right.
www.ddid.org. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.